Hi guys, welcome back. This is part one of a four-part series called Living Intentionally by Bradley Trull. Hope you enjoy.
Hey there, welcome to Pickled Parables. This podcast is presented by Parable Ministries as a Bible teaching resource. Thank you for joining us. Pickled Parables is a podcast about taking in and living out the Bible. Here we will study, contemplate, and testify to the Bible's incredible teachings and how it leads us to live better lives. To stay up to date with all things Parable, follow us on Instagram at parable_ministries and visit our website at parableministries.com. We hope today's message finds you well.
Hello and welcome to Pickled Parables. My name is Bradley Trull and I currently serve as youth pastor at Valley Baptist Church in Perrydale, Oregon, where I grew up. Outside of that, I've been married to my beautiful wife, Carly, for almost 4 years now, and we have a five-month-old son named Sam. A fun fact about me is I once got to shark cage dive with great white sharks off the coast of Cape Town, South Africa. But most importantly, I'm a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is part one of a four-part series on living intentionally. Part 1 is called The Problem, and our key text will be Hebrews 12, 1 through 13. I want to open by asking you, what are the biggest problems faced by Christians in the West today? I think a lot of people would give answers like the redefinition of gender, LGBTQIA+ issues, things like anti-Christianity in universities, things like secular culture and how it is continuing to erode away at any basis of Christian belief or morals. I think Tyler Joseph of 21 Pilots almost gets it right. In his song Car Radio, he sings, "I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. 'Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence. I ponder of something terrifying, 'cause this time there's no sound to hide behind. To find over the course of our human existence, one thing consists of consistence, and it's that we're all battling fear. Oh dear, I don't know if we know why we're here. Oh my, too deep, please stop thinking. I liked it better when my car had sound." He talks about the pain and the questions of life and how his car radio used to distract him from feeling those things. And again, he's almost there. What if I told you that the number one problem for Christians in the West was busyness and distraction? This is what John Mark Comer suggests in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. This whole teaching series is really based around what I learned from reading his book and how it showed me something that I was really missing in my life. Just stop and think about it. In many other countries, Christianity is persecuted, either by the government or by other groups within the country. Christians are killed for their faith in many places around the world. But here in America, and a lot of other countries that have freedom of religion, Christians are free to follow Christ. Instead of facing outright opposition from Satan, busyness keeps so many people from stopping to think about what truly matters. Busyness and distraction is a huge weapon that Satan can use against those of us that don't face immediate in-your-face persecution. Because it keeps Christians from orienting their lives toward Christ, and non-Christian values begin to seep in, making it more difficult for Christians to love God and to love their neighbor. For non-believers, busyness and distraction can keep them from asking the deep questions of life, things that might ultimately drive them towards the Lord and seeking truth in Him. The question is, how did we get here? The Bible tells us where everything went wrong for humanity. God created Adam and Eve in a garden paradise with only one rule: don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good of good and evil, but they did not listen. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, brokenness and evil have become a part of the human experience. Humanity was tainted by sin and separated from God. I was a history major in college, and when I look back on history, I just see over and over and over the depth of human sin. We see thousands upon thousands of years of mistreating one another and never getting better. We are all sinful and deserving of God's punishment. But the story did not end there. God had an answer for what is wrong with the world, and his answer was a person. God the Son came down in the person of Jesus and lived a perfect life, setting our example. He lived this perfect life, and yet he died willingly so that he could take away our sin and restore our relationship to the Father. But he did not stay dead, and he rose again 3 days later. If anyone puts their faith in him, Jesus has paid for their sin. Their sin is no longer held against them, but instead they are made clean, and they will spend eternity with him, where he will heal them of all sadness and evil. This is the good news of the gospel. I know for many of you, you've probably heard this many times before, but it is important to always remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel. Through the gospel, Jesus invites us to put our faith in him and live a brand new life. Even as I say it, it's just so exciting. We hear this, it sounds great. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to come and give all of God's people the ability to serve him. But it doesn't always feel like we've been given a new life in Christ. We struggle to experience this new life. I want to ask you to stop for a moment and think about each of these questions. How much of your daily life is affected by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Do you really feel that in your day-to-day life? What is more true for you? Living out the experience of freedom found in Christ, or the feeling that you always have something else to do? Another test to study for, another text or email to reply to, another achievement to accomplish. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you feel like you have rest in Jesus? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus calls believers to be salt and light. Those are two analogies saying that Christians need to live differently from those around us. Do you feel like you live differently from those who do not know Jesus? This series, we will be talking about how to live intentionally. Living intentionally helps us think about the Lord, remember what Christ did, rest in him, and live differently from the world around us. I don't know about you, but I often feel like my life is just like everyone else around me. I feel just as stressed out, discouraged, unhappy, if not more so than everyone around me, Christians or not. We go to school or work. We try to get good grades and good feedback from our bosses. We spend time with our friends. We go out to dinner. We go out to get boba or drinks. We want to get a good job and have a good future. And when we're stressed, we use our free time watching Netflix or YouTube, scrolling Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, or playing Apex Legends and Helldivers 2. In the midst of all of this, it doesn't feel like we're that different from the non-Christians around us. We try to be nice to people, we try not to swear and do other bad stuff, but other than that, we don't feel that different. I had a friend in college that claimed to be a believer and was someone I really looked up to. He once admitted to me that he struggled to remember that God is a thing sometimes. At the time, I felt relieved, because I also feel like that so much of the time. But unfortunately, for him, what started as not remembering that God was a thing ended up into something much more serious, and he ended up in trouble with the law. It should have been a warning to both of us, because it was so easy for us to forget God. When we forget God, it leaves us so vulnerable to just living like those around us and letting our sinful passions rule us. We battle the world around us, we battle our own fleshly evil desires, and we battle the devil's plans. If we are not seeking God, we're being drawn away from him. Living our lives to honor the Lord is like going the wrong way on a moving sidewalk at PDX. If we just stand there, we're going backwards, because so much is pulling us away from God. We have to be intentional if we're going to move forward and push through all of the things that are trying to pull us away from him. This series will be dedicated to how we can live intentionally, which is living in such a way that we do remember who God is and what he's done. We take time to remember, as my friend put it, that God is a thing. It means living in such a way that we leave space for the Holy Spirit to work inside of us. What do you think are the main things that keep people from thinking about God and living in the strength that he gives? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. In the chapter right before this passage, the author of Hebrews writes about famous heroes of the faith in the famous chapter Hebrews 11 that we call the Hall of Faith. But he continues this by saying, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." I love how the beginning of this passage tells us to throw off sin and every weight. As I studied and thought through what does it mean to live intentionally, I see two main issues that we face. We face distractions and we face idols. Just like the Hebrews passage says, idols are clearly sinful. Idols are things that we worship instead of God. But more than just sin, we are supposed to throw off the weight that pulls us down. And that is what distractions are. And so we're going to look at these two focuses. A distraction is something that keeps us from focusing on God. And an idol is something we ask to give us something that only God can give. What are some distractions and idols that you think people struggle with? We're going to go through a couple here together. I think one is popularity. We see this in person socially, but especially online as well with social media. And something with social media that I think is important to remember for all of us is social media is filled with the highlight reels of other people's lives. They may not even be fully true, and they are curated so that you only see what they want you to see. So it's so easy for us to get caught up in comparing ourselves and our one life with the 500, 1,000, or more people that we follow online, only seeing their highlights, and then our lives feel so much less by comparison. In Matthew chapter 6, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus cautioned the crowd against making it obvious when they were fasting. Instead, they were to fast and act normal, wash their face, put oil on their head so that no one would know, so that their fasting would be to honor the Lord, not get the approval of others. At Jesus' time, that was a way to be popular, to show how holy you were, to say, look at me, I am fasting because I am so holy. Today, the temptation is not this as much, and more the temptation is to do whatever it takes to be popular with our friends, to be popular with people at school, to be popular with people at work, to be popular online. And that is something people chase after, thinking that it will really give them meaning. Another distraction and idol that people struggle with is wealth and achievement. We want to be wealthy. We want to have money to spend on our wants instead of just feeling like we spend money on our needs. Again, Matthew chapter 6 helps us here. Jesus says very clearly that you cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and fill in the blank. You cannot serve God and yourself. You cannot serve God and success. You cannot serve God and insert anything else here. Jesus reminds us that wealth and achievement are not an end in and of themselves. About materialism, wanting the latest name brand clothes, or wanting the latest technology, or always wanting more. This is the lie that so many of us in the West have to face. This idea that things will make us happy. This is what advertisers have been telling us now for years and years. Advertising is no longer just telling you how great their product is. Instead, advertising has become showing that their product is the key to the good life. And yet, it's all a lie. Barry Schwartz, in his TED Talk, The Paradox of Choice, explained that his local supermarket had 175 different salad dressings to choose from. This is what materialism has given us. Lots of choices. And yet, because of opportunity cost, more choices mean more chances to regret and less happiness. The opportunity cost is saying, well, I bought this brand of ranch dressing, and now I'm going to worry that maybe I should have got something else. Maybe I should have got balsamic. Maybe I should have bought a different brand of ranch dressing. When there's so many choices, it allows us to be so much more unhappy, as opposed to you have three choices. Materialism is in and of itself self-defeating. We need to stop believing that more will satisfy us. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus cautions against worrying about food and clothing. Even the most basic necessities, Jesus says, do not worry about that. Instead, God's people are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. We are to trust God to provide for our very needs. How much more are we supposed to trust God to provide for our wants and our desires? What about entertainment? Phones, social media, video games, TV, music, podcasts. Our world is saturated in media and entertainment. And the advent of the smartphone means that there is no such thing as boredom anymore for so many people. If you're bored, what do we all do? Pull out our phone, start scrolling social media, start scrolling YouTube, start scrolling ESPN and reading sports articles. Whatever it is you're interested in, it's right there in your pocket at all times. This is one of the biggest distractions that we face, because even more than Tyler Joseph's old car radio, our phones and the constant noise of technology can keep us from focusing on what is most important. They can keep us from asking the difficult questions of why am I here? What am I supposed to do with my life? Is there more out there than just the world around us that we can actually see? What do we actually need? We need God. St. Augustine said, our heart is restless until it rests in you. We try cheap substitutes to make us happy and distract us from feeling and dealing with what's most important in our lives. In his famous sermon, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis flips what we often think as Christians on its head when he says that our desires are not too strong, but they are too weak. We are content to sit in the mud making mud pies instead of taking the offer of a vacation to the sea. We sit in the mud and in the filth, and we make our mud pies as we doom scroll Instagram and X. We sit and make mud pies as we turn to playing video games or binge-watching Netflix when we are sad instead of dealing with the things of life. When we turn away and just allow these things to control us more than we control them, we're stuck. But Christ offers us a vacation to the sea. He offers us a better way to live. He gives us a new way to live by His example, by His death, and by His resurrection. In what ways do you see yourself pulled away from God by sin and by distraction? This series, as we continue, we're going to look at how we can rekindle our desire for God and battle the distractions and idols around us so that we can live our lives intentionally focused on loving God and loving others. This is what he offers us. He offers us a new life. He offers us life more abundant. That is what Jesus said that he came to bring. As we close this message, I want you to take some time and just think. Pray. Say, Lord, show me what distractions, what idols are pulling me away from living the life that you want me to live. I want you to think about the distractions we talked about and maybe some of the ones we didn't mention. Are you chasing popularity? Are you chasing wealth and achievement, materialism, entertainment, or anything else? And I want you to take those to the Lord and say, Lord, I am sorry for my distraction, for the ways that I get so easily led away from you. I want you to bring that to him. And then stop and say, what does the gospel tell me? What does the Lord say about what's most important when he sent his son to live the perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay for the sins of all who believe, and then say, here is the new life. To say, as he said to his disciples, come follow me. I'm going to close this in prayer now. Lord, we love you. Lord, we recognize that there are so many things that pull us away from you. Please open our eyes so that we can see the distractions, so that we can see the idols that get in the way of seeking you. Lord, I just pray that everybody who listens to this podcast would just take a moment and that you would work in their hearts, Lord. I pray that if they don't know you, that they would take this opportunity to say, Lord, I'm putting my faith in Christ. That they can live that new life with their sin paid for, with their relationship restored to you. Lord, I pray for that. Lord, for those that do know you, I pray that they would stop and thank you for the gift of your Son. And Lord, that they would still look and say, Lord, what are the distractions and the idols that lead us away from you? Lord, you offer us a perfect life in the future, but you offer us the opportunity for a changed life now. I pray that you would work and move in our hearts so that we can eliminate distractions, eliminate idols. And I pray that you would guide us as we continue in this series, that we can build into our lives reminders of who you are and spend time worshiping and thanking you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Pickled Parables. If you enjoyed this message, please rate us, subscribe, and share with your friends. If you're interested in more things like this, check out our secondary podcast called My Dusty Bible. To stay up to date with all things Parable, follow us on Instagram at @parable_ministries and visit our website at parableministries.com. Parable is a volunteer organization, and we would deeply appreciate your prayers. Thank you for joining us today. We'll catch you later.